At this time of year, mid-season network television shows are coming to a small screen near you. Returning hits like American Idol premiere, along with a batch of new shows launched to replace canceled titles from the fall, things like Charlie's Angels, The Playboy Club, and Free Agents. James Hibbard covers television for Entertainment Weekly, and he joins us from NPR West to talk about some of these mid-season shows. Good morning.
Hi.
Let's start with NBC. I gather that they are going to be trying quite a few new shows. Maybe I should say what they're trying for is a comeback.
They've been trying for a comeback for a while now. I mean, you have to wonder how many years can NBC have the same story in the fall of these shows that don't pan out.
Well, now they're launching Smash. This is about folks who are working in the theater trying to put together a Broadway musical about Marilyn Monroe. I saw the pilot, which seemed to me very classy, part music, part drama, kind of Glee grows up.
It is. It's very much Glee for grown-ups. You know, I hear very wildly conflicting opinions in the industry about whether it will work, but everyone agrees it's a very well-done show.
There are some beautiful production numbers, like this one, which is from the play they're theoretically doing about Marilyn Monroe. This is about baseball.
Fellas!
Yeah!
Fellas!
Is it?
Hey, team!
On the benches, it's Marilyn!
I just got a date.
She just got a date.
With baseball's Chilton Joe.
That lucky is so-and-so.
So what do you think? Give it 50% better?
It's one of the toughest ones to predict. I would say it's got about a 50-50 shot.
Now, ABC had a surprisingly strong fall. It had the fairy stories, the very creepy fairy stories, Once Upon a Time, Suburgatory. What's coming up for the midterm?
Well, ABC has a really intriguing one called The River, which is from Paranormal Activity director Oren Peli. And it's about a search in the Amazon to find a missing documentarian played by Bruce Greenwood. The pilot sort of plays like a mashup of Lost, Paranormal, Anaconda, Activity. It's all very familiar, but it's a very fast-moving mashup that definitely hooks your interest, and that'll be on Tuesday nights in February.
Now, on the other hand, Work It, which is a cross-dressing sitcom, two guys dressing up like women to get jobs. Now, there's a very peculiar concept.
Yes, yes, yes. Two men dressing up as women to get jobs in pharmaceutical sales. And it's drawing these protests from GLAAD and the transgender community. And you have to wonder what ABC was thinking there, because if you're going to get people riled up, you want to at least do it for a show that you're proud of. And this was a show that from the moment it was announced last May that critics have been sharpening their knives to sort of tear into.
Fox does very well with its Idol, of course, and that starts over now, doesn't it?
American Idol season 11. It's amazing.
Whoa.
It just keeps going.
There is another program coming from Fox. It's a See Into the Future plot. It's called Touch. It sounds to me kind of like something I've seen before, except it does have Kiefer Sutherland in it.
Jake, I did what you wanted. I followed the numbers. They were saved because of you. I don't know if you understand a single word that I'm saying. I don't even know if you hear me, but I can hear you, Jake. Do you understand that? I can hear you now.
Kiefer Sutherland was such a huge star for Fox for so many years with 24, and this is a moody, well-done drama about a man whose silent, special-needs son can predict the future, and also marks the return of Heroes creator Tim Kring to primetime, so we're all looking forward to that one.
I expect I will be tuning in. James Hibbard is a senior writer for Entertainment Weekly. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
This is Fresh Air. I'm TV critic David Bianculli. The new year brings with it new TV programming, and this Sunday is an especially busy one for television. Two new series premiere, and one miniseries and several other series return. Because it's a new year, let's start with the new shows. First up is NBC's The Firm, a spin-off continuation of the John Grisham book. The one that, in the 1993 movie adaptation, starred Tom Cruise as a lawyer on the run from sinister forces within his own corrupt firm. This new version, starring Josh Lucas in the role of Mitch McDear, starts out hitting the same notes, literally. The soundtrack aims, at least at first, to evoke Dave Grusin's dramatic piano music from the original movie. And this new Mitch, like the old one, is first seen running for his life in broad daylight, this time on the Washington Mall. After After this high-energy opening, the TV show flashes back to 6 weeks earlier, borrowing a trick from Damages, where the plot will slowly but surely work its way back to the present. But first, it regresses again a full decade to explain how Mitch came out of hiding and started his own law practice, assisted by saucy Tammy and brother Roy. In the movie, that trio was played by Tom Cruise, Holly Hunter, and David Strathairn. Now they're played by Josh Lucas, Juliette Lewis, and Callum Keith Rennie. Only Molly Parker from Deadwood, playing Mitch's wife, is a step up from the original movie, where Abby was played by Jean Triplehorn. Otherwise, however you compare this TV version to the movie or the book, even with Grisham's blessing and involvement, it comes up wanting, and at times, even boring. That's not the case with Showtime's House of Lies, another new series that launches Sunday. This one stars Don Cheadle as Marty Kahn, a high-priced management consultant who leads a team of fast talkers and faster thinkers, including one played by Kristen Bell. Cheadle first impressed me playing the district attorney on Picket Fences, where every time he stood and spoke, you couldn't help but lean in and take notice. It's the same way here, except that effect is enhanced through technology. Every so often, the action around Marty will stop, literally stop, like a still photo, so he can step forward, look into the camera, and address the audience directly to explain a particular term or tactic. It's a gimmick, sure, but it works here, and with an impressive injection of high-octane energy. As in this scene, when Marty stops talking to his colleagues, who freeze like statues, so he can talk to us instead.
Consulting's like dissing a really pretty girl so that she'll want you more. We need them to think they're almost perfect so we can book that after work. After work. After work really is the goal of all consulting. Get them on the tip, thinking that their business is gonna fail without you. They hire you week in and week out. That's millions and millions in billable hours. That's what we want, baby.
House of Lies, based on a nonfiction book, is adapted and produced by Matthew Carnahan, whose last TV series, the Courtney Cox comedy drama Dirt, was nowhere this sharp. House of Lies, to its credit, is a lot more complex than it might have been. Marty wins battles each week as he goes into the field to consult, but he's losing the war at his own firm. His boss Skip, played by Richard Schiff from The West Wing, is supporting a merger with a giant company, even though someone there has it in for Marty. And while Skip supports the merger, he explains in a future episode why he doesn't support Marty.
It's a relationship business. We're pollinators, right? We go from flower to flower. We are very sweet. We gorge on the royal jelly, and then we quietly buzz off. We do not use our stingers. We are all about relationships. Other people do what you do without leaving a swath of destruction behind them. Yeah, your numbers are amazing. But then I am the one left behind, spending half my life making nice with all the people whose lives you've carved up and gutted. I like my garden peaceful and quiet with big, beautiful, blooming buds.
Bzz, 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 bzz. Okay, Skip, listen. Maybe my style points leave something to be desired. Okay, granted. I'll try to do better. I'm sorry.
You realize how long I've known you and you've never once invited me over here?
Skip, I have personally put about $100 million in your pocket. Let alone what I've done for your company, all right? It's not about us ever being friends here.
It is to me. It's personal. To me. And that's kind of what matters now, isn't it?
House of Lies definitely is a show to add to your weekly viewing list. Other shows on TV this Sunday may be on that list already. Showtime presents the season premieres of the David Duchovny series Californication, which jumps ahead 2 years in its narrative, and the William H. Macy series Shameless, which picks up right where it left off last season. Californication is reinvigorated by the time jump, and in Shameless, while the writing isn't that outstanding, the acting certainly is. And on BBC America, there's a 20th anniversary reunion special of Absolutely Fabulous. If you loved Ab Fab before, as I did, chances are good you'll love it again. And that's true as well of season 2 of Downton Abbey, the hit costume drama presented by Masterpiece Classic on PBS. It won an Emmy for Outstanding Miniseries last year and became such a surprise hit that writer-creator Julian Fellowes instantly was asked for more. Frankly, I don't know why its popularity should be considered surprising at all. Downton Abbey is upstairs downstairs for a new generation and has the exact same appeal. It's like watching the 1% living under the same roof as the 99%, only with completely different accommodations. Season 2 jumps forward 2 years in its storyline, just as Californication does. This puts us to 1916 and the Great War, and before Episode 1 is over, we're in the trenches as well as the kitchen. Some of the subplots this season are more predictable and thus a bit less delectable. But the actors, led by Hugh Bonneville, Maggie Smith, and Jim Carter, still enhance every scene in which they appear. As with last season, I enjoy spending time at Downton Abbey, whether it's upstairs or down. You can join us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at NPR Fresh Air. And you can download podcasts of our show at freshair.npr.org. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our senior producer is Roberta Sherrock. Our engineer is Audrey Bentham, with additional engineering support from Joyce Lieberman and Julian Hertzfeld. Dorothy Farabee is our administrative assistant. Melody Kramer is our associate producer of online media. John Sheehan directed the show. For Terry Gross, I'm David Bean Cooley.